I felt that familiar tug low in my tummy, getting warm all over. With my eyes still closed, the image changed to Jason Bourne slash Matt Damon attacking my skin. With the two of us on the run from the government, only our physical connection kept us alive. My slash Jason's fingers trailed lightly down my belly, sliding inside my matching panties. I could feel my touch working. It was waking something, stirring something inside. I gasped when I felt how ready I was for Jason and for Jordan. Jesus! The thought of the two of them together, working to bring back the O, made me actually twitch. I moaned and went for the big guns. I went Clooney. Flashes of Clooney came to me as my fingers teased and twirled, twisted and taunted. Danny Ocean, George from the Facts of Life, and then I went for it. Dr. Ross. Third season of ER after the Caesar haircut had been rectified. I moaned and groaned. It was working. I was actually getting really turned on. For the first time in months, my brain and the rest of me seemed to be in tune. I rolled onto my side, hand between my legs, as I saw Dr. Ross kneeling before me. He licked his lips and asked me when was the last time anyone had made me scream. "You have no idea. Make me scream, Dr. Ross." Behind tightly closed eyes, I saw him lean toward me, his mouth getting closer and closer. He gently pressed my knees farther apart, placing kisses on the inside of each thigh. I could actually feel his breath on my legs, which made me shiver. His mouth opened, and that perfect Clooney tongue flickered out to taste me. Thump. Oh, God. Thump, thump. Oh, God. No. 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 Simon. I couldn't believe it. Even Dr. Ross looked confused. So. Fucking. Good. I groaned as I felt Dr. Ross leaving me. I was wet. I was frustrated. And now Clooney thought someone was laughing at him. He began to back away. No, don't leave me, Dr. Ross. Not you. That's it. That's it. Oh, oh. The walls began to shake, and the bed thumping began. That's it. Giggle this, bitch. I scrambled to my feet, Catalano and Bourne and the ever-loving Dr. Ross fading away in wisps of testosterone-laden smoke. I whipped open the door and stalked out of my bedroom. Clive held out a paw and started to reproach me for shutting him out, but when he saw my face, he wisely let me pass. I stomped to my front door, my heels pounding into the hardwood floor. I was beyond angry. I was livid. I'd been so close. I opened my front door with the strength of 1,000 angry O's denied release for centuries. I began to pound on his door. I pounded hard and long, like Clooney had been about to do. I banged again and again, never relenting, never letting up. I could hear feet slapping toward the door, but still I didn't let up. The frustration of the day and the week and the months without an O unleashed itself in a tirade the likes of which no one had ever seen. I heard locks rattling and chains coming undone, but still onward I banged. I began to yell, "Open this door, you asshole, or I will come through the wall." "Take it easy. Quit that banging," I heard Simon say. Then the door swung open and I stared. There he was. Simon. Silhouetted by soft light from behind, Simon stood with one hand grasping the door and the other holding a white sheet around his hips. I looked him over from top to bottom, my hand still hanging in the air, clenched into a fist. It was pulsing. I'd been banging so hard. He had jet black hair that stood straight up, likely from Giggler's hands buried in it as he plowed into her. His eyes were piercing blue, and cheekbones just as strong as the jaw. Completing the package, kiss-swollen lips, and what looked like about 3 days' worth of scruff. Jesus, there was scruff. How had I missed that this morning? I gazed down his long, lean body. He was tan, but not a premeditated tan. Outdoorsy tan. Weathered tan. Manly tan. His chest rose and fell as he panted, his skin coated in a thin sheen of sex sweat. As my eyes traveled down further, I saw a smattering of dark hair low on his torso, which led below the sheet. Below the six-pack, below that V that some men have, and which on him didn't look weird or bow-flexed. He was stunning. Of course he was stunning. And why did there have to be scruff? I inadvertently gasped as my gaze dropped lower than I had intended. But my eyes were drawn as if by a magnet, lower and lower. Beneath the sheet, which was already lower on his hips than should be legal, he was still hard. Chapter 5.
Oh, God!
Thump.
Oh, God!
Thump, thump. I was traveling up the bed with the strength of his thrusts. He drove into me with unflinching force, giving me exactly what I could take, then pushing me just past that edge. He stared down at me, hard, flashing a knowing smirk. I closed my eyes, letting myself feel how deeply I was being affected. And by deep, I mean deep. He grasped my hands and brought them above my head to the headboard.
"You're gonna want to hold on tight for this,"
he whispered, and threw one of my legs up over his shoulder as he altered the rhythm of his hips.
"Simon!"
I shrieked, feeling my body begin to spasm. His eyes, those damnable blue eyes, bore into mine as I shook around him.
"Simon!"
I screamed again, and promptly woke up, with my arms over my head, hands tightly grasping the headboard. I closed my eyes for a moment and forced my fingers to uncurl. When I looked again, I could see dents in my hands from gripping so tightly. I struggled to sit up. I was covered in sweat and panting. I was actually panting. I found the sheets in a ball at the foot of the bed, with Clive buried underneath, just his nose peeking out.
"Oh, Clive, are you hiding?"
"Meow,"
came the angry reply, and a tiny face followed the kitty nose.
"You can come out, silly. Mommy's done screaming, I think."
I chuckled, running a hand through my damp hair. I had charmingly sweated through my PJs, so I got up to stand over the AC vent, cooling off and beginning to calm down. That was close, huh, O? I grimaced, pressing my legs together and feeling a not unpleasant ache between my thighs. Ever since the night Simon and I met in the hallway, I couldn't stop dreaming about him. I didn't want to, really didn't want to, but my unconscious mind had taken over and was having her way with him, nocturnally. My body and brain were separate on this one. Brain knew better. Lower Caroline was not so sure. Clive pushed past me and ran into the kitchen to do his little dance next to his bowl. "Yeah, yeah, yeah, settle down," I croaked as he threaded himself in and out of my ankles. I dumped a scoop of kibble in his bowl and hit the coffee. I leaned against the counter and tried to collect myself. I was still breathing a little hard. That dream had been... well, it had been intense. I thought again of his body perched over mine, a bead of sweat rolling off his nose and dropping onto my chest. He lowered himself and dragged his tongue up my stomach, toward my breasts, and then... ping, ping! Mr. Coffee brought me back from my saucy thoughts, and I was grateful. I could feel myself getting worked up again. Is this going to be a problem? I poured a cup of coffee, peeled a banana, and looked out the window. I ignored my compulsion to massage the banana and thrust it into my mouth. Oh, sweet Christ, the thrusting! This was headed south fast, and by south, I mean... I slapped myself in the face and forced my mind to think of something besides the man-whore I was currently sharing a wall with. Inane things. Innocuous things. Puppy dogs. Doggy style. Ice cream cones. Licking his cone and two scoops. Children's games. Damn, did I want to do whatever Simon says. Okay, enough. Now you aren't even trying. While showering, I sang the Star-Spangled Banner over and over again to keep my hands from doing anything other than washing up. I needed to remember what an asshole he was, not how he looked in only a sheet and a grin. I closed my eyes and leaned into the spray, remembering that night again. Once I'd stopped staring at his, well, his below the sheet, I'd opened my mouth to speak. "Now look here, mister. Do you have any idea how loud you are? I need my sleep. If I have to listen to one more night, one more minute, in fact, of you and your harem banging away on my wall, I'll go insane." I yelled to release all the tension that would have, could have, should have been released already in a very Clooney way. "Just settle down. It can't be that bad. These walls are pretty thick." He grinned, pumping his fist against the doorframe and trying to unleash a little charm. He was clearly used to getting what he wanted. With abs like that, I could see why. I shook my head to impart focus. "Are you out of your mind? The walls are not nearly as thick as your head. I can hear everything, every spank, every meow, every giggle, and I have had it. This shit ends now," I screeched, feeling my face burn with fury. I'd even used air quotes to emphasize the spank, meow, and giggle. As I spoke of his harem, he began to downshift from charm to chastise. "Hey, that's about enough," he shot back. "What I do in my home is my business. I'm sorry if I disturbed you, but you can't just come over here in the middle of the night and dictate what I can and can't do. You don't see me coming across the hall and banging on your door. No, you just bang on my damn wall. We share a bedroom wall. You're right up against me when I'm trying to sleep. Have some common courtesy.
Well, how come you can hear me and I can't hear you?
Wait, wait. There's no one banging on your walls, is there? He smirked, and I felt the color drain from my face. I crossed my arms tightly across my chest, and as I looked down, I remembered what I was wearing. Pink baby doll nightie. What a way to establish credibility. As I fumed, his eyes drifted down my body, unabashedly taking in the pink and the lace and the way my hip jutted out as I tapped my foot angrily. His eyes finally came back up, and he met my stare, not backing down. Then, with a twinkle in those baby blues, he winked at me. I saw red.
Oh!
I'd screamed and slammed back into my apartment. Mortified now, I let the water wash away my frustration. I hadn't seen him since. But what if I did? I thumped my head against the tiles. When I opened the front door 45 minutes later, I tossed a goodbye to Clive over my shoulder and prayed silently that there'd be no random harem girls in the hallway. All clear. I pushed my sunglasses on as I walked out the door of the building, barely noticing the Land Rover. And by barely, I mean I barely noticed that Rover rhymed with over, as in bend me over the chair in my family room and... Caroline? I might have a problem here. Later that afternoon, Jillian stuck her head inside my office. Knock, knock, she said, smiling. Hey, what's going on? I leaned back in my chair. Ask me about the house in Sausalito. Hey, Jillian, how's the house in Sausalito? I asked, rolling my eyes. Done, she whispered, and threw her arms in the air. Shut up, I whispered back. Totally, completely, absolutely done. She squealed and sat down across from me. I offered a fist bump across the desk. Now that is some good news. We need to celebrate. I reached into a drawer. Caroline, if you pull out a bottle of scotch, I'm going to have to consult human resources, she warned, a grin twitching. First of all, you are human resources. And second of all, like I would keep scotch in my office. Obviously, that's in a flask lashed to my thigh. I giggled and produced a blow pop. Nice. Watermelon even. My favorite, she said, as we unwrapped and began to suck. So, tell me all about it, I prompted. I'd been consulting a little with Jillian as she chose the final touches on the house she and Benjamin had been renovating, and I knew it was just the kind of house I'd been dreaming of for years. Like Jillian, it would be warm, inviting, elegant, and filled with light. We talked shop for a while, and then she let me get back to work. By the way, housewarming next weekend. You and your posse are invited, she said on her way out the door. Did you just say posse? I asked. I might have. You in? Sounds great. Can we bring anything and can we stare at your fiancé? Don't you dare. And I would expect nothing less, she fired back. I smiled as I went back to work. Party in Sausalito? Sounded promising. You don't seriously have a crush on him, do you? I mean, how many dreams have you had about him? Mimi asked, sucking on her straw. A crush? No, he's an asshole. Why would I? Of course she doesn't. Who knows where that dick has been? Caroline would never, Sophia answered for me, tossing her hair over her shoulder and stunning stupid a table of businessmen who'd been staring since she walked in. We'd met for lunch at our favorite little bistro in North Beach. Mimi settled back into her chair and giggled, kicking me under the table. Piss off, pipsqueak. I stared hard at her, blushing furiously. Yeah, piss off, pipsqueak. Caroline knows better than to. Sophia laughed, then trailed off, finally taking off her sunglasses and switching her gaze to me. The cellist and the pipsqueak watched me fidget. One smiled and the other swore. Ah, jeez, Caroline. Do not tell me you are crushing on that guy. Oh, no. You are, aren't you? Sophia huffed as the waiter set down a bottle of S. Pellegrino. He stared at her as she ran her fingers through her hair, and she waved him away with a carefully aimed wink. She knew how men looked at her, and it was fun to watch her make them squirm. Mimi was different. She was so tiny and cute that initially men were drawn in by her innate charm. Then they really got a look at her and realized she was lovely. Something about her made men want to take care of her and protect her until they got her to the bedroom. Or so I've been told. Crazy town, that one was. I'd been told I was pretty, and on some days I believed it. On a good day, I knew I could work it. I never felt as hot as Sophia or as perfectly pulled together as Mimi, but I cleaned up well. I knew when the three of us went out, we could really work a scene, and until recently, we'd used this to our advantage. We each had very distinct types, which was good. We rarely went for the same guy. Sophia was very particular. She liked her men long, lean, and pretty. She liked them not too tall, but taller than her. She wanted her men polite and smart, and preferably with blonde hair. It was her true weakness. She was also a sucker for a southern accent. Seriously, if a guy called her Sugar, she'd pounce first and introduce herself later. I had first-hand knowledge of this because I'd messed with her one night when she was wasted using my best Oklahoma accent. I had to fight her off the rest of the evening. She claimed it was college and she wanted to experiment. Mimi, on the other hand, was particular but not with a specific look. She went for overall size. She liked her men big, huge, tall and strong. She loved when they had to pick her up to kiss her, or stand her on a stool so they didn't get neck cramps. She liked her men a little on the sarcastic side and hated condescending. Because she was small, she had a tendency to draw types that wanted to protect. But girlfriend had been taking karate since she was a kid, and she needed no one's protection. She was a badass in a retro skirt. I was harder to pin down, but I knew him when I saw him. Like the Supreme Court and pornography, I was aware. I did have a tendency toward outdoorsy guys, lifeguards, scuba divers, rock climbers. I liked them clean-cut, but a little shaggy, gentlemanly, with a touch of bad boy, and making enough money that I didn't have to play mommy. I'd spent a summer with a hotter-than-hell surfer who couldn't afford his own peanut butter. Even Micah's round-the-clock orgasms couldn't save him when I found out he'd been using my Amex to pay for his sex wax, and his cell phone bill, and his trip to Fiji that I wasn't even invited on. To the curb, surfer boy. To the curb. I might have taken one more for the road before he left, though. Ah, the days before O's departure. Round-the-clock orgasms. Sigh. So wait a minute. Have you seen him since the hallway encounter? Sophia asked after we'd ordered and I'd come back from my surfer memories.
No,
I groaned. Mimi patted my arm soothingly.
He's cute, isn't he?
Damn it, yes. Too cute for his own good. He's such an asshole. I slammed my hand down on the table so hard I made the silverware bounce. Sophia and Mimi exchanged a glance, and I showed them my middle finger. And that morning he was in the hallway with Purina, kissing on her. It's like some sick, twisted orgasm town going over there, and I want no part of it, I said, chewing furiously on my lettuce after telling them the story for the third time.
I can't believe Jillian didn't warn you about this guy, Sophia mused, pushing her croutons around on her plate. She was on a no-bread thing again, terrified of the 5 pounds she claimed she'd put on in the last year. She was full of it, but there was no arguing with Sophia when she set her mind to something.
No, no, she says she doesn't know this guy, I reported. He must have moved in since the last time she was there. I mean, she hardly ever stayed in that place. They just kept it so they always had a place to stay in the city. According to the neighbors, he's been in the building only a year or so, and he travels all the time. As I spoke, I realized I'd compiled quite a dossier on this guy.
So, has he been wall-banging at all this week? Sophia asked.
Relatively quiet, actually. Either he really listened to me and is being neighborly, or his dick finally broke off in one of them and he sought medical attention, I said a little too loudly. The table of businessmen must have been listening pretty closely, as they all choked a little just then and shifted in their seats, perhaps crossing their legs in unwitting sympathy. We giggled and continued our lunch. Speaking of Jillian, you guys are invited out to the house in Sausalito next weekend for their housewarming party, I informed them. They both immediately fanned themselves. Benjamin was the one guy we all agreed on. Whenever we'd plied Jillian with enough liquor, we'd confess our crush to her and make her tell us stories about him. If we were lucky and had managed to get an extra martini in her, well, let's just say it was nice to know sex continued to be worth doing even after your man was well into his 40s. The one about Benjamin and the Tonga Room at the Fairmont Hotel? Wow, she was a lucky woman.
That'll be cool. Why don't we come over and get ready at your place like the old days?
Mimi squealed as Sophia and I plugged our ears.
Yes, yes, that's fine, but no more squealing, or we'll leave your ass with the bill.
Sophia scolded as Mimi settled back into her seat, eyes sparkling. After lunch, Mimi walked toward her next appointment around the corner, and Sophia and I shared a cab.
So, naughty dreams about your neighbor? Let's hear it, she began, to the great delight of the cab driver.
Eyes on the road, sir, I instructed as I caught him looking at us in the rearview mirror. I let my thoughts drift to the dreams which had come every night for the past week. I, on the other hand, had not, ratcheting up my sexual frustration to a critical point. When I could ignore the O, I was okay. Now that I was treated to dreams of Simon every night, O's absence was even more pronounced. Clive had taken to sleeping on top of the dresser, safer than my flailing legs, you see.
The dreams are good, but he's such an asshole, I exclaimed, thumping my fist on the door.
I know, that's what you keep saying, she added, looking at me carefully.
What? What is that look?
Nothing, just looking at you. You're awfully worked up over someone who's an asshole, she said.
I know. I sighed, looking out the window.
You're poking me.
I am not.
Seriously, what the hell is in your pocket, Mimi? Are you packing? Sophia exclaimed, jerking her head away as Mimi pressed the curling iron through her hair. I smiled from my place on the bed, lacing up my sandals. I'd put my own hair up in rollers before the girls got here, so I'd been spared the full treatment. Mimi fancied herself some kind of beauty school dropout, and if she could have opened a shop in her bedroom, she'd have given it some careful thought. Mimi produced a brush from her pocket and showed it to Sophia before starting to tease. With the brush, that is. We were pre-partying just like we did at Berkeley, right down to the frozen daiquiris. Although we'd upgraded to the good alcohol and freshly squeezed lime juice, it still made us a little hyper and slap-happy.
Come on, come on! You never know who you might meet tonight. You don't want to meet Prince Charming with flat hair, do you? Mimi reasoned as she forced Sophia to flip her hair over to get some lift at the crown.
You didn't argue. You just let her do it. I'm not flat anywhere, and if these girls are on display, Prince Charming won't even notice I have hair, Sophia muttered, which sent me into another gale of giggles.
Then, over our laughter, I heard voices from next door. I got up off the bed and went closer to the wall where I could hear better. This time, instead of just Simon, there were two other distinctly male voices. I couldn't make out what they were saying, but suddenly Guns N' Roses came blaring through the walls loud enough to make Sophia and Mimi stop what they were doing.
What the hell is that?
Sophia snapped, looking wildly around the room.
Simon's a Gunner fan, I guess.
I shrugged, secretly enjoying being welcomed to the jungle. I put a headband low on my forehead and did Axel's crab dance back and forth, much to the delight of Mimi and the scorn of Sophia.
No, no, no. That's not it, fool.
Sophia scolded over the music and grabbed another headband. Mimi screamed with laughter as Sophia and I axle battled. Until, of course, Sophia started to mess up her hair. Then Mimi lunged. Sophia jumped on the bed to get away from her, and I joined her. We jumped up and down, shrieking the lyrics now and dancing wildly. Mimi finally gave in, and all three of us danced like mad fools. I started to feel the bed moving underneath us, and I realized it was banging merrily against the wall. Simon's wall. Take that, and that, and a little of that. No one's banging on my walls, huh? I shrieked crazily as Mimi and Sophia watched in amazement. Sophia climbed off the bed, and she and Mimi clutched each other as they laughed, and I thumped. I rocked back and forth like I was surfing, driving my headboard into the wall again and again. The music cut off suddenly, and I dropped like I'd been shot. Mimi and Sophia clasped their hands over each other's mouths while I lay flat on the bed, biting my own knuckle to keep from laughing. The frenzy in the room was like when you got caught TPing someone's house or laughing in the back of church. You couldn't stop, and you couldn't not stop. Bang, bang, bang. No way. He was banging at me? Bang, bang, bang. He was banging at me. Bang, bang, bang. I gave as good as I got. I couldn't believe he had the balls to try to get me to quiet down. I heard male voices chuckling. Bang, 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 came once more, and my temper flared. Oh, he really was an asshole. I looked at the girls incredulously, and they jumped back on the bed with me. Bang, 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 we pounded, 6 furious fists raining down on the plaster. Bang, 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 came back to us, much, much louder this time. His boys must have gotten in on the action. "Give it up, mister! No sex for you!" I yelled at the wall as my girls cackled maniacally.
"Tons of sex for me, sister. None for you," he yelled all too clearly through the wall.
I raised my fists to bang once more.
Bang, 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 bang,
rang out from my side.
Bang, bang.
A single fist answered back, and then all was silent.
"Ooh!"
I screamed at the wall, and I could hear Simon and his boys laughing. Mimi, Sophia, and I stared wide-eyed at one another until we heard a tiny sigh from behind us. We turned to see Clive sitting on the dresser. He stared back at us, sighed again, and proceeded to lick his bum.
The nerve! I mean, the mother-loving nerve of that guy! He has the balls to actually bang on my wall? On my wall? I mean, God, what an
asshole. We know, Mimi and Sophia said in unison as I continued my rant.
Yes, an asshole, I continued, still worked up.
We were in the car on the way to Jillian's party. The car service had arrived promptly at 8:30. And we were soon headed over the bridge. As I looked out at the twinkling lights of Sausalito, I began to calm down a little. I refused to let that guy upset me. I was out with my 2 best friends, about to attend a fantastic housewarming hosted by the best boss in the world. And if we were lucky, her fiancé would let us see the pictures of him when he was a swimmer in college, back when swimmers still just wore tiny Speedos. We would sigh and gaze endlessly until Jillian made us put them away, and then she would usually put Benjamin away, too, for the night.
I'm telling you, I have a really good feeling about tonight. I feel like something's going to happen,
Nini mused, staring thoughtfully out the window.
Something's going to happen, all right. We'll have a great time, drink way too much, and I'll probably try to cop a feel off Caroline on the car ride home,
Sophia said, winking at me.
Sugar,
I teased, and she blew me a kiss.
Oh, would you two forget your pseudo-lesbian romance? I'm being serious here,
she continued, sighing in the harlequin romance voice she used sometimes.
Who knows? Not sure about me, but maybe you'll meet your Prince Charming tonight,
I whispered, smiling back at her hopeful face. Mimi was certainly the most romantic of the three of us. She was steadfast in her belief that everyone had a soulmate.
I'd just settle for my soul, oh.
When we pulled up to Benjamin and Jillian's house, there were cars parked everywhere along the winding street, and Japanese lanterns and luminary bags lined the property. Like most houses set into the hilly landscape, from the street there was nothing to look at. We giggled as we made our way through the gate, and I smiled when the girls stared at the contraption before us. I'd seen the plans for this, but had yet to take a ride.
What kind of fucked-up rickshaw is this?
Sophia blurted, and I couldn't help but laugh. Jillian and Benjamin had designed and installed a hillivator, basically an elevator that went up and down the hill. Very practical when you consider the amount of steps it took to reach the house. Their hillside front yard was blanketed with terraced gardens and benches and various garden scenes, all artfully arranged on flagstone paths lit with tiki torches that led down the hill to the house. But for grocery shopping and other less leisurely approaches, the Hillibator made for a much easier ride. "Would you ladies care to use the lift or make your way down the path?" an attendant asked, appearing from the other side of the carriage.
"You mean ride in that thing?"
Mimi squeaked.
"Sure, that's what it's made for. Come on,"
I encouraged, stepping through the little door that he'd opened in the side. It really felt like a ski lift, except that it was going down a hill instead of up in the air.
"Yeah, okay, let's do it," said Sophia, climbing in behind me and plopping down on the seat. Mimi shrugged and followed.
"There'll be someone at the bottom waiting for you. Enjoy the party, ladies."
He smiled, and we were off. As we rode down the hill, the house rose up to meet us. Jillian had created a purely magical world here, and as there were huge windows throughout the house, we could see into the party as we continued our descent.
"Wow, there are a lot of people here," Mimi noted, her eyes huge.
The sounds of a jazz band on one of the many patios below came tinkling up to us. I felt a little fluttering in my tummy as the cart came to a stop, and another attendant came to open the door. As we filed out and our heels click-clacked across the flagstone, I could hear Jillian's voice from inside the house and immediately smiled.
"Girls, you made it," she called as we walked in.
I turned in the space, taking it all in at once. The house was almost like a triangle set into the hillside and sprawling outward. Deep mahogany wood floors spread out beneath us, and the clean lines of the walls contrasted beautifully. Jillian's personal taste was a comfortable modern, and the colors in the house reflected the colors of the surrounding hillside. Warm, leafy greens, rich, earthy browns, soft, muted creams, and hints of deep marine blue. Almost the entire back of the two-story house was glass, taking advantage of the spectacular view. The moonlight danced on the water in the bay, and in the distance you could see the lights of San Francisco. Tears sprang to my eyes as I saw the home she and Benjamin had created for themselves, and as I looked back at her, I saw the excitement in her eyes.
"It's perfect," I whispered, and she hugged me tightly.
Sophia and Mimi gushed to Jillian as a waiter brought us each a glass of champagne. When Jillian left to go mingle, the three of us made our way out onto one of the many terraces to take stock. Waiters passed trays, and as we munched on roasted prawns and sipped our bubbly, we scanned the crowd for anyone we knew. Of course, many of Jillian's clients were there, and I knew I'd be mixing in a bit of work tonight, but right now, I was content to eat my fancy shrimp and listen to Sophia and Mimi size up the men.
"Oh, Sophia, I see a cowboy for you right over there."
"No, no, wait, he's taken by another cowboy. Moving on," Mimi sighed as she continued her search.
"I got him. I spotted your boy for tonight, Mimi,"
Sophia squealed in a whisper.
"Where? Where?"
Mimi whispered back, hiding her mouth behind a prawn. I rolled my eyes and grabbed another glass of bubbly as the waiter passed.
"Inside, see? Right over there by the island in the kitchen. Black sweater and khaki pants. Jesus, he is a tall drink of water. Nice hair, too,"
Sophia mused, narrowing her eyes.
"With the curly brown hair?
Yes, I could definitely work with that," Mimi said, her target acquired.
"Look how tall he is. Now who is that yummy he's talking to? If that bimbo would just move out of the way," Mimi murmured.
raising an eyebrow until the alleged bimbo finally moved on, giving us a clearer shot of the man in question. I looked as well, and as a path opened up, we could now see both of the chatting men. The big guy was, well, big, tall and broad, linebacker shoulders almost. He filled out his sweater quite nicely, and as he laughed, his face lit up. Yeah, he was exactly Mimi's type. The other gentleman had wavy blonde hair that he constantly pushed behind his ears. He wore bookish glasses that really worked for him. He was long and lean and intense-looking, almost classical in his beauty. Make no mistake, this guy was geeky gorgeous, and Sophia drew in a quick breath at the sight of him. As we continued to watch the scene unfold, a third man joined them, and we all smiled. Benjamin. We headed for the kitchen immediately to say hi to our favorite man on the planet. No doubt Sophia and Mimi were also delighted to have Benjamin handle their introductions. I glanced at the two as they simultaneously worked themselves over. Mimi surreptitiously pinched both cheeks a la Scarlett O'Hara, and I saw Sophia sneak a quick boob prop. These poor guys didn't stand a chance. Benjamin caught sight of us on our way across to him and smiled. The guys opened their circle to let us in, and Benjamin enveloped all three of us in a giant hug. My three favorite girls. I was wondering when you were going to turn up. Fashionably late, as always, he teased, and we all giggled. Benjamin did that. He made us into silly schoolgirls. Hi, Benjamin, we said in unison, and it struck me how much we sounded like Benjamin's angels at that moment. Big guy and glasses stood there grinning as well, perhaps waiting for an introduction as the three of us just stared at Benjamin. He really was aged to perfection. Wavy brown hair just barely beginning to silver by his temples. He was wearing jeans, a dark blue shirt, and a pair of old cowboy boots. He could have walked right off a Ralph Lauren runway. Allow me to make some introductions here. Caroline works with Jillian, and Mimi and Sophia are her, oh, what do you call it? BFFs? Benjamin smiled, gesturing to me. Wow, BFFs, who's been teaching you the lingo, daddy-o? I laughed and extended my hand to Big Guy. Hi, I'm Caroline. Nice to meet you. He engulfed my hand with his paw. It actually was like a paw. Mimi was going to lose her mind with this one. His eyes were full of fun as he smiled down at me. Hey, Caroline, I'm Neil. This tool here is Ryan, he said, nodding over his shoulder at glasses. Thanks. Remind me of that the next time you can't remember your email password. Ryan laughed good-naturedly and extended his hand to me. I shook it, noticing how scorchingly green his eyes were. If Sophia had kids with this guy, they would be illegally beautiful. I made sure to handle the continued introductions as Benjamin stepped away. We began to small talk, and I chuckled as the four of them began their little getting-to-know-you dance. Neil spotted someone he knew behind me and shouted, "Hey, Parker, get your pretty boy ass over here and meet our new friends. I'm coming, I'm coming." I heard a voice say behind me, and I turned to see who was joining our group. The first thing I saw was blue. Blue sweater, blue eyes, blue, beautifully blue. Then I saw red, as I recognized who belonged to the blue. Fucking wall banger, I hissed, frozen on the spot. His grin slid off as well as he played Place the Face for a moment. Fucking Pink Nighty Girl, he finally concluded. He grimaced. We stared, seething as the air turned electric between us, snapping and crackling. The four behind us had fallen silent, listening to this little interchange. Then they caught up.
That's Wallbanger?
Sophia screeched.
Wait a minute. That's Pink Nighty Girl?
Neil laughed, and Mimi and Ryan snorted. My face flamed bright red as I processed this information, and Simon's sneer became that damnable smirk I'd seen that night in the hallway when I'd banged on his door and made him quit giving it to Giggler and yelled at him. When I'd been wearing... Pink Nighty Girl? Pink Nighty Girl? I choked out. Beyond pissed, beyond angry, well into furious town, I stared at him, pouring all of my tension into that one look. All of the sleepless nights and lost O's and cold showers and banana thrusting and merciless wet dreams went into that one look. I wanted to level him with my eyes, make him beg for mercy.
But no, not Simon, director of the International House of Orgasms. He was still smirking.
Chapter 6. We stood staring at each other, waves of anger and annoyance pinging back and forth between us. We glared, he with the smirk and me with the sneer, until I noticed that our very own peanut gallery had fallen silent again. Along with every other guest in the kitchen, I looked past my neighbor and saw Jillian standing next to Benjamin with an inquisitive look on her face, no doubt wondering why her protege was squaring off in the middle of her housewarming. Wait a minute. How the hell does she know Simon? Why was he even here? I felt a tiny hand on my shoulder and spun quickly to see Mimi. Easy, Trigger. You don't need to go nuclear at Jillian's, kay? She whispered, smiling shyly at Simon. I tossed her a look and turned back to him, finding him joined by our hosts. Caroline, I didn't realize you knew Simon. What a small world, Jillian exclaimed, clasping her hands together. I wouldn't say I know him, but I'm familiar with his work, I replied through clenched teeth. Mimi danced in a circle around us like a little kid with a secret. Jillian, you won't believe this, but... She started, her voice bubbling over with barely concealed mirth. Mimi, I warned.
Simon is Simon from next door. Simon Wallbanger.
Sophia cried, grasping Benjamin's arm. I'm sure she only did it so she could touch Benjamin.
Damn it,
I breathed as Jillian took in this information.
No fucking way,
she breathed, hand clapping over her mouth as she dropped the F-bomb. Jillian always tried to be such a lady. Benjamin looked confused, and Simon had the decency to blush a little.
Asshole, I mouthed to him.
Cock blocker, he mouthed back, the smirk returning in full force. I gasped. I clenched my fists and prepared to tell him exactly what he could do with his cock blocker when Neil burst in.
Benjamin, check this out. This little hottie here is the Pink Nighty Girl. Can you stand it?
He laughed as Ryan struggled to keep a straight face. Benjamin's eyes widened, and he raised an eyebrow at me. Simon swallowed a laugh.
Pink Nighty Girl? Jillian asked,
and I heard Benjamin lean in and tell her he'd explain later.
Okay, that's it,
I shouted, and I pointed at Simon. You, a word, please, I barked, and grabbed him by the arm. I yanked him outside and pulled him down one of the paths that led away from the house. He scrambled along after me, my heels ringing out angrily on the flagstone.
Jesus, slow down, will you?
My response was to dig my nails into his arm, which made him yelp. Good. We reached a little enclave set away from the house and the party, far enough away that no one would hear him scream when I removed his balls from his body. I released his arm and rounded on him, pointing a finger in his surprised face.
You've got some nerve telling everyone about me, asshole. What the hell? Pink nighty girl? Are you kidding me? I whisper yelled. Hey, I could ask you the same question. Why do all those girls in there call me wallbanger, huh? Who's telling tales now?
He whisper yelled right back.
Are you kidding me? Cockblocker? Just because I refused to spend another night listening to you and your harem does not make me a cockblocker, I hissed. Well, due to the fact that your door banging blocked my cock, it actually does make you a cockblocker. Cockblocker, he hissed back.
This entire conversation was beginning to sound like something that might have happened in fourth grade, except for all the nighties and the cock talk.
Now you listen here, mister, I said, trying for a more adult tone. I'm not going to spend every night listening to you try to crash your girl's head through my wall with the force of your dick alone. No way, buddy.
I pointed a finger at him. He grabbed it.
What I do on my side of the wall is my business. Let's get that straight right now. And why are you so concerned about me and my dick, anyway? He asked, smirking at me again. It was the smirk. That damn smirk that made me go ballistic. That and the fact that he was still holding my finger. It is my business when you and your sex train come knocking on my wall every night.
You're really fixated on this, aren't you? Wish you were on the other side of that wall. Are you looking to ride that sex train, nighty girl?
He chuckled as he wagged his finger in my face.
Okay, that's it, I growled.
I grabbed his finger in defense, which instantly locked us together. We must have looked like two loggers trying to cut down a tree. We struggled back and forth, beyond ridiculous. We both huffed and puffed, each trying to get the upper hand, each refusing to relent.
Why are you such a man-whoring asshole? I asked, my face inches from his. Why are you such a cock-blocking priss? He asked.
And when I opened my mouth to tell him exactly what I thought,
the fucker kissed me. Kissed me.
Placed his lips on mine and kissed me, under the moon and the stars, with the sounds of the waves crashing and the crickets cricketing. My eyes were still open, furiously looking back into his. His eyes were so blue, it was like looking at two angry oceans. He pulled away, our fingers still gripping each other's like pliers. I released his hand and slapped him across the face. He looked shocked. Even more so as I grabbed his sweater and pulled him closer. I kissed him, this time closing my eyes and letting my hands fill with wool and my nose fill with that warm man smell.
God damn, he smelled good.
His hands crept around to the small of my back, and as soon as he touched me, I realized where I was and what I was doing.
Damn it, I said, and pulled away.
We stood looking at each other, and I wiped at my lips. I started to walk away and then turned back quickly.
This never happened. Got it?
I pointed at him again.
Whatever you say.
He smirked, and I felt my temper flare again.
And cool it with the pink nighty stuff, okay?
I whisper yelled, and turned to walk back down the path.
Until I get to see your other nighties, that's what I'm calling you,
he shot back, and I almost tripped. I smoothed my dress and headed back to the party.
Unbelievable. So I told the guy, there is no way I'm organizing your playroom. You can arrange your own riding crops,
Mimi shrieked, and we all laughed. She can tell a story like nobody's business. She has a knack for bringing a group together, especially when it's new people just getting to know one another. As the party began to wind down, my girls and Simon's guys were gathered around a fire pit on one of the terraces. Dug deep and lined with flagstone, it had benches all around. While the fire crackled merrily, we laughed and drank and told stories. And by that I mean Mimi, Sophia, Neil, and Ryan told stories, while Simon and I glared at each other over the flames. With the sparks flying, if I squinted my eyes a little, I could imagine him roasting in the fires of hell.
So are we going to address the elephant in the room here?
Ryan asked, drawing his knees up and placing his beer on the bench next to him.
Which elephant would that be?
I asked sweetly, sipping my wine.
Oh, please! The fact that the guy thumping the headboard off your bed is the hottie across the way, girl,
Mimi squealed, almost tossing her drink in Neil's face. He laughed along with her, but pried the glass out of her hand before she could do any real damage.
There really isn't anything to talk about, Simon said. I have a new neighbor. Her name is Caroline. That's it.
He nodded, eyeing me across the fire. I raised my eyebrow and sipped my wine.
Yeah, it's nice to know Pink Nighty Girl has a name. The way he described you, wow. I wasn't sure you were real, but you're as hot as he said you were.
Neil hooted at me appreciatively, trying for a moment to fist bump Simon through the flames before he realized how hot they were. My eyes shot to Simon. He grimaced at the description.
Interesting. So you were the guys banging back at us tonight, listening to Guns N' Roses?
Sophia asked, nudging Ryan.
You were the girls singing along, I suppose, yes?
He nudged back, smiling.
Small world, isn't it?
Mimi sighed, gazing up at Neil. He winked at her, and I saw quickly where this was going. She had her giant, Sophia had her hot geek, and I had my wine, which was disappearing by the second.
Excuse me,
I muttered, and stood up to find a waiter. I made my way through the dwindling crowd inside the house, nodding at a few faces I recognized. I accepted yet another glass of wine and strolled back outside. I'd started back toward the fire pit when I heard Mimi say,
"And you should have heard Caroline when she told us about the night she banged on his door."
Sophia and Mimi leaned together and said breathlessly,
"He was still hard."
They all dissolved into laughter. I needed to remember to kill those girls tomorrow with pain. I groaned at my public humiliation and spun around to stomp off into the gardens when I saw Simon in the shadows. I tried to back away before he saw me, but he waved.
"Come on, come on. I don't bite," he scoffed.
"Yeah, sure,
I guess,"
I answered, walking toward him. We stood quietly in the night. I looked out over the bay, enjoying the silence. Then he finally spoke.
"So I was thinking, since we're neighbors and all," he began.
I turned to look at him. He was giving me a sexy little grin, and I knew that's what he used to make the panties drop.
Ha! Little did he know I wasn't wearing any.
You were thinking what? That I'd want to join you some night? See what all the fuss is about? Hop on the welcome wagon?
Honey, I have no interest in becoming one of your girls, I answered, glaring at him.
He said nothing.
Well,
I asked, tapping my foot angrily.
The nerve of this guy.
Actually, I was going to say, since we're neighbors and all, maybe we could call a truce, he said quietly, looking at me in a very irritated way.
Oh,
I said. It was all I could say.
Or maybe not,
he finished, and started to walk away.
Wait, 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 Simon, I groaned, grabbing him by the wrist as he pushed past me.
He stood there, glaring.
Yes, fine. We can call a truce. But there will have to be some ground rules,
I replied, turning to face him. He crossed his arms over his chest.
I should warn you now. I don't enjoy women telling me what to do,
he answered darkly.
Not from what I've heard,
I said under my breath, but he caught it anyway.
That's different,
he said, the cockiness beginning to reappear.
Okay, here's the thing. You enjoy yourself. Do your thing. Hang from the ceiling fans. I don't care. But late at night, can we keep it down to a dull roar? Please? I gotta get some sleep.
He considered this for a moment.
Yes, I can see where that might be a problem. But you know, you don't really know anything about me, and you certainly don't know anything about me and my harem, as you call it. I don't have to justify my life or the women in it to you. So no more nasty judgments. Agreed?
I considered it.
Agreed. By the way, I appreciated the quiet this week.
Something happen?
Happen? What do you mean?
He asked as we walked back to the group.
I thought maybe you were injured in the line of duty, like your dick broke off or something.
I joked, proud to use my zinger again.
Unbelievable. That's all you think I am, isn't it?
He retorted, his face angry again.
A dick? Yes, in fact,
I snapped back.
Now look, he started, and Neil appeared out of nowhere. Nice to see you two have kissed and made up,
he chided, pretending to hold Simon back.
Can it, Anchorman?
Simon muttered as the rest of the newly paired off reappeared.
Cool it with the Anchorman, huh?
Neil said, and Sophia whirled on him.
Anchorman? Wait a minute. You're the local sports guy on NBC, right? Am I right?
She asked. I watched his eyes light up. Sophia may have been a classical music kind of girl, but she was also a huge 49ers fan. I was pretty sure the 49ers were a football team.
Yeah, that's me. You watch a lot of sports?
He asked, leaning toward her, bringing Mimi along. The way she was clinging to his arm, it was unavoidable. She stumbled a little, and Ryan swooped in to steady her. They smiled at each other as Sophia and Neil continued their football talk. I coughed, reminding them that I was in fact still here.
Caroline, we're taking off,
Sophia giggled, now leaning on Ryan's arm. I glared at Simon one more time and stalked toward the girls.
That's good. I've had enough fun for tonight. I'll call for the car and we can head out in a few,
I replied, reaching into my bag for my phone.
Actually, Neil was telling us about this great little bar, and we were going to go that way. Do you two want to come?
Mimi interrupted, stopping my hand. She squeezed it, and I saw her shake her head, almost imperceptibly.
No,
I asked, raising both eyebrows.
Great. Old Wallbanger here'll make sure you get home okay,
Neil said, clapping Simon roughly on the back.
Yeah, sure,
he said through clenched teeth. Before I could even blink, the four of them were on their way to the Hillivator, saying sloppy goodbyes to Benjamin and Jillian, who just laughed and shared a high five. Wallbanger and I stared at each other, and I suddenly felt exhausted. Truce, I said tiredly.
Truce,
he said, nodding. We left the party together. We drove back across the bridge, with the late-night fog and silence enveloping us. He'd opened the door for me when I approached the rover, probably some ingrained training from his mother. His hand had rested on the small of my back as I climbed in, and then it was gone, and he was around to his side before I even had a chance to make a snarky remark. Maybe it was best. We had called a truce, the second truce within the span of mere minutes. This was going to end badly, I could tell. Still, I would try. I could be neighborly, right?
Neighborly. Ha! That kiss was all kinds of neighborly.
I was trying as hard as I could not to think about it, but it just kept bubbling up. I pressed my fingers to my lips without even realizing it, remembering the feeling of his mouth on mine. His kiss was almost a dare, calling my bluff, a promise of what would follow if I allowed it.
My kiss?
Straight-up instinct that, frankly, surprised me. Why had I kissed him? I had no idea, but I did. It must have looked ridiculous. I'd slapped him, then kissed him like some scene from an old Cary Grant movie. I'd thrown my entire body into my kiss, letting my soft places curve against his strong. My mouth had sought his, and his kiss had grown as eager as mine. There was no fairy tale music, but there was something there, and it had quickly hardened against my thigh. His messing about with the radio brought me back to the present. He appeared quite focused on the music as we drove across the bridge, which made me quite nervous. Can I help you with that, please? I asked, looking nervously at the water below.
No thanks, I got it,
he said, glancing at me. He must have noticed the way I was peering over the side of the bridge, and he chuckled.
Okay, sure, go ahead. I mean, you knew every word to Welcome to the Jungle, so you might pick out something good,
he challenged. He returned his eyes to the road, but even from the side, I could see the approving grin, which, and I hated to admit it, made his jaw look like it had been chiseled out of the hottest piece of granite ever unearthed. I'm sure I can find something, I sassed, reaching over as he pulled back his arm. His hand grazed against the side of my breast, and we both flinched.
What are you trying to cop a feel there?
I snapped, selecting a song.
Did you or did you not just place your tits in the path of my hand?
He sniped back. I think your hand just moved in front of the girl's trajectory, but don't sweat it. You're hardly the first that these celestial beings have brought into their orbit. I sighed dramatically, looking at him sideways to see if he could tell I was joking. The corner of his mouth rose into a grin, and I allowed myself a small smile as well.
Yes, celestial. That's the word I was going to use. As in, not of this earth, as in, suspended in the heavens, as in, courtesy of Victoria's Secret.
He grinned, and I pretended to be shocked.
Oh my, you know of the secret?
And here I thought we silly girls had you all fooled.
I laughed and settled back into my seat. We'd crossed the bridge and now returned to the city.
It takes a lot to fool me, especially when it comes to the opposite sex, he replied, as the music came on.
He nodded at my choice.
Too short? Interesting selection. Not many women would have chosen this, he mused.
What can I say? I'm feeling very Bay Area tonight, and I should tell you now, I am not like most women, I added, feeling another smile sneak across my face.
I'm beginning to get that, he said.
We were quiet for a few minutes, then suddenly both started to speak at once.
So what do you think about... I began. Can you believe that they all... he said.
Go ahead, I chuckled.
No, what were you going to say?